Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You're listening to Awakened to Deliver, a podcast from Awakened Bible Ministries, created to inspire believers to wake up to God's truth and live boldly for Christ. Yesterday, Jeff Fish began our series, The Reality of Hell, by revealing why hell was created, a place prepared for the devil and his angels, not for mankind. Today, we're going deeper into Scripture itself, examining what the Bible actually says about hell, the words it uses, and what those words reveal about the seriousness of eternal separation from God. And now, let's join Jeff for today's message.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another day of Awaken to Deliver. Yesterday, we learned why hell exists. Because God is holy, and his justice must confront rebellion. But today, we ask a different question. What exactly is hell? When Jesus warned of it in Mark chapter 9, verse 48, he said, "Where their worm does not die, and the fire is not extinguished." Those are not poetic exaggerations. They are the words of the Son of God. He wasn't trying to shock people. He was trying to save them. When Jesus spoke of hell, he used language that reached into the deepest fears of the human heart, because he wanted no one to end up there. And throughout Scripture, three main words describe this place of judgment: Sheol, Hades, and Gehenna. Each one paints a different part of the picture. In the Old Testament, Sheol was the Hebrew word for the place of the dead. It appears about 65 times in Scripture and was sometimes translated as the grave or the pit. Before the cross, Sheol referred to the unseen realm, where all souls went after death, the righteous and the unrighteous alike. Psalm chapter 16, verse 10 says, "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol. You will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay." That verse later applied to Jesus in Acts chapter 2. It shows us that even when Christ descended into death, he would not remain there. Within Sheol, there were two divisions: a place of comfort for the righteous, called Abraham's bosom, and a place of torment for the wicked. A great chasm separated them. And when Christ rose from the dead, he emptied that place of comfort and brought the saints into heaven's presence. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10 says, "He ascended on high, led captive the captives, and gave gifts to people." Since that moment, those who die in Christ go directly to be with the Lord, while the unbelieving dead remain in torment, awaiting the final judgment. In the New Testament, the Greek word Hades continues that idea. It refers to the temporary place of the wicked dead, the holding prison before the final sentence. Revelation chapter 20, verses 13 and 14 says, "And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire." That tells us that Hades is not the end. It's the waiting room before the final courtroom. When the great white throne judgment comes, Hades itself will be emptied and cast away forever. Now, the third word is Gehenna, the one that Jesus used most often. It comes from the Valley of Hinnom, just outside of Jerusalem. That valley had a dark history. In the days of Israel's rebellion, children were sacrificed there to false gods like Molech. 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 10 says that King Josiah defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, so that no one would make his son or his daughter pass through the fire for Molech. By the time of Jesus, it had become the city's garbage dump. Fires burned constantly, consuming refuse and carcasses, while worms devoured what the flames did not. So when Jesus said, "The worm does not die and the fire is not quenched," his listeners could see the smoke rising from the valley. He was pointing to a real place that illustrated a far greater reality: eternal judgment. Gehenna represents the final state of the lost, the lake of fire itself, a place of unending corruption and consuming flame. Scripture uses many descriptions for hell because no single image can capture its horror. It's called a furnace of fire in Matthew chapter 13, verse 42. It's called outer darkness in Matthew chapter 22, verse 13. The black darkness reserved forever in Jude 13. The bottomless pit in Revelation 9, chapter 2. And the second death in Revelation 20, verse 14. Every term points to the same truth. It is real, it's conscious, and it's eternal. Fire in Scripture always represents judgment. Darkness always represents separation. Put them together, and you have the ultimate picture of existence apart from God. A burning darkness that never ends. Some have asked, is this fire literal or symbolic? The answer is both. If it is literal, it's terrifying. If it is symbolic, then the reality it symbolizes must be worse than any flame that we can ever imagine. And either way, the message is clear. Hell is not temporary. It is not metaphorical. It is not a myth. It is the final destination of sin, the place where rebellion receives its rightful wage. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, "These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The same word "eternal" describes both. If heaven lasts forever, so does hell. Revelation chapter 14, verse 11 says, "And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night." Hell's torment is continual and conscious, but God's mercy is still available right now, before that day arrives. You see, the same Jesus who warned about hell also stretched out his hands on the cross to save us from it. Every description of judgment is also an invitation to grace. John chapter 3, verse 16 reminds us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." That's why Jesus talked about hell more than anyone else, because love warns. A parent who sees danger in the road doesn't whisper, they shout. And Jesus shouted from the cross, "It is finished." So we would never have to hear the words, "Depart from me." And maybe you've heard people mock the idea of eternal punishment, or maybe preachers just avoiding it out of fear or sounding harsh. But silencing the truth doesn't make it less real. The flames still burn whether we acknowledge them or not. And love tells the truth, even when it's uncomfortable. Hell is not the opposite of God's love. It's the revelation of what happens when love is rejected. God does not send people there against their will. He honors their choice to live forever without him. Heaven is eternal communion, and hell is eternal separation. And every soul will dwell forever in one or the other. Friend, this is why the gospel matters. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. There is a way out, and his name is Jesus. He conquered death. He holds the keys of Hades, and he offers mercy to all who will repent and believe. Don't gamble with eternity. Don't treat this as theology to study later. This is life and death. Every heartbeat is one step closer to forever. Choose life while there's still time. Because hell is real, but so is the cross. The valley of fire still burns, but so does the flame of grace that can rescue anyone who calls on his name. And that is why we preach. That is why we warn. And that is why we thank God for a Savior who descended into death so that we could ascend into life. Tomorrow, we are going to talk about what hell feels like, the torment, the separation, the regret that Jesus described, and why understanding it should make us run harder towards the light. So until next time, stay faithful, stay bold, and remember that you too have been awakened to deliver.
Thank you for listening to Awakened to Deliver. We pray today's message has encouraged and equipped you in your walk with Christ. If this podcast has blessed you, please consider leaving a rating and review. It helps others discover this message of faith and encouragement. To stay connected and explore more content from Awakened Bible Ministries, visit the link tree in the podcast description. Awakened to Deliver is entirely listener supported. If you feel led to partner with this ministry, you can make a one-time donation or become a monthly supporter through the links in our link tree. For our international listeners, we now offer a safe and secure giving option through DonorBox. Your support helps spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Join us tomorrow as we continue diving into God's Word together.